I'm sorry I broke your company. When management consultants are the problem, not the solution. Author, Karen Fellin. Humans are the business. We have been led to believe by management gurus and consultancies that businesses are logical and run by the numbers, and that their models and theories will provide step-by-step instructions on how to succeed. Companies try to implement these models, or make decisions strictly by the numbers and never realize the expected success because businesses are not actually rational. Human assets aren't part of a business. If you take away the human assets, you don't have a business. Just a bunch of offices and equipment that can't do anything. Businesses are people. Irrational, emotional, unpredictable, creative, oddly gifted, and sometimes ingenious people who don't operate according to theories. Why we blame management consultants. Management consultants are those who work with the top layers of corporate management and advise them on what to do. We blame these people for conceiving and propagating the many management myths that are the roots of some of the biggest problems in business today. Lack of innovation, short-term focus, obsession with financial gains over creating valuable products and services, and stressed out, overworked, and disengaged employees. Rather than focusing on the obvious question, how can my business make life better, corporate leaders have spent the last few decades fixating on other, less meaningful questions such as, how do I gain a competitive advantage? How do I increase my bottom line? How do I optimize the efficiency of my human assets? The result is lean companies that operate alike and offer copycat products and services. Strategic planning can't predict the future. Strategic plans are predicated on your ability to predict economic conditions, industry changes, competitive actions, and customer desires. However, no one can do this with any kind of reliability. Of all the world-class economists whose jobs are to predict the future, almost no one saw the financial crisis of 2008 coming. Yet, it's a business's best practice to try to predict the future and enact a plan around that future vision. The usual way to develop a future vision is to hire consultants who do lots of research on the industry and trends and write all this up in a report. Next, the consultants bring a small group of the leadership team together to brainstorm an overall vision and strategic goals based on their findings. Once that vision is created, the leader needs to persuade the rest of the organization to believe the vision, and then management ensures that the organization takes only those actions that would lead to the creation of that vision. Planning, not the plan, is important. Planning expands thinking, while following a plan limits thinking. And the whole point of developing a strategy is to improve intelligence, not replace it. Most companies use consultants to do the analysis and develop the plans. The goal shouldn't be to develop a plan to follow, but to gain the wisdom and knowledge to react appropriately to a rapidly changing world given the capabilities of the company. This way, when opportunities present themselves, employees can distinguish the good ones from the bad ones. Employees can provide a wealth of intelligence about the marketplace, customers, and even competitors. Someone has probably worked there, sharing information throughout the organization about the company's values and capabilities, projects that worked and didn't work, what customers want, and emerging technologies is all critical to good decision-making. People need to know these to recognize good opportunities. This is what strategy development is really about, providing the foundation for making informed decisions. You can't manage what you can't measure. Four categories of measures are needed to manage a business successfully: financial, customer satisfaction, internal processes, and innovation and learning. Ideally, the measures in these four categories would be determined by the business's strategic goals, and the scorecard could be used to operationalize a strategic plan. How targets are always met. The problem is that the system is trying to command and control an organization composed of people. And the problem with that is, well, we're people. We don't operate like machinery. In fact, we really don't like being commanded or controlled. And our reactions to these measurement systems cause our behaviors to change in unpredictable ways. If you pick a specific goal and attach rewards and punishments to it, you can guarantee that somehow that goal will be met. Today, most companies have moved away from paying their sales representatives straight salaries to offering commission-based compensation. That is, the more a person sells, the more he makes. Typically, a salesperson has quarterly revenue targets to meet to get the incentive compensation. Anyone familiar with sales knows that sales usually pick up at the end of each quarter and then drop off at the beginning. This is because salespeople offer promotions and other incentives, like rebates, to their customers to order before the close of the quarter. Of course, promotions and rebates harm profitability. But most salespeople aren't measured on profits, so they don't care. Sales representatives often game the system to their advantage. Look at what you have ended up creating. Measures that conflict with the strategic objectives and the complete loss of priorities. All the measures become equally important. Therefore, none are important than the others. Aside from all the game playing and people working at cross purposes, you've also created a data collection, verification, and reporting morass of measurements and targets, all of which is subject to human interpretation and manipulation. The net result is the same unprioritized, misaligned environment as before the metrics were instituted. Plus, lots of non-value-adding work administering the measurement system, and minus the ability of the employees to use their own judgment to mitigate conflicting priorities. We're not only in it for the money. Rewards and incentives have very short-term benefits, but in the long term, inhibiting learning and intrinsic motivation. Studies show that employees are happiest with a slightly above industry average fixed salary, and that the external rewards of bonuses, stock, and so on have little effect on knowledge workers. Intrinsic reward systems tend to make people less creative and less enthusiastic about their work by destroying their inherent desire to learn, add value to society, and do a job well. By attaching a monetary value to a task, we unwittingly communicate that the task has no value in and of itself. The other effect is that it is to limit our thinking. Because we are now so focused on the immediate task, we miss other information that could help us, and we shut down our lateral thinking. Companies should consider a number of alternatives because there really isn't one best way to manage employee performance. When it comes to compensation, it's best to go with an above-average salary and a very simple profit-sharing plan. Offer the same percent reward to everyone when the company meets a profitability threshold. This creates a we're-all-in-it-together mentality. It's also inherently fair because everyone gets the same amount. When you get rid of the ratings and evaluations, managers and employees are free to find the best way to improve their performance together. How to think without consultants. It's much easier to work with human nature than against it. Management consultants get humans to behave like machines, to act contrary to human nature. Managers often complain that the reason their initiative failed was because the employees lacked the discipline to follow it. Although a lot of blame for our corporate malaise can be placed on consultants, companies are also at fault. Many companies hire consultants to do their thinking for them. Companies will routinely hire consultants to develop their strategies or restructure their companies or determine the feasibility of an acquisition, with the result being that people who know nothing about your business are making the most important decisions about your business. Thinking exercise. Strive to enhance humanity. If the basic building blocks of the businesses are people, then anything that helps people improve should improve your business. Use this guideline to determine if a new program or initiative is going to help or harm the organization. 1. Improve relationships across different functional areas. 2. Improve judgment or expand thinking. 3. Create an environment that helps employees enjoy life. 4. Strive to make life better for your customers. Your people are the solution. You should always think about the consequences of a method, or a best practice, or a business solution before you embark on it. Just because other companies are doing it doesn't mean it's right. Starting from a blank sheet of paper might be scary, but as long as you have a good team of people around you, you'll figure it out. People make the problems, and people can solve them too. Trust them.